humanity.
We base ourselves on and we promote the work of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, who's brought forward the new communism, a framework for human emancipation that is scientifically grounded and visionary. And you'll be hearing more from Bob Avakian in an interview that was done with him recently on today's show about this new communism.
And later in today's program, we're going to be showing you some film of the voices from the streets at International Women's Day around the country. But first, we want to go to Mahmoud Khalil. We'll start with him, and then we're going to have an interview that Sansara Taylor did, a host of this show, with Raymond Latta in New York City.
This encampment is a minor inconvenience compared to the generational shaping events taking place now in Gaza. Throughout the negotiations, the Shafi administration treated this movement as a matter of internal student discipline rather than a movement, or rather than as one of the great moral and political questions of this generation. Colombia's short-sighted political decision making today in the face of a genocide that has stolen the lives of over 34,000 human beings, women, men, babies in Gaza, that has destroyed lineages and heritage sites and universities, will be a stain on its legacy forever. This is not a matter of simply violating university rules. This is a movement, an anti-war movement.
Agents from President Donald Trump's administration have arrested Palestinian graduate student Mahmoud Khalil, who played a prominent role in last year's pro-Palestinian protests at New York's Columbia University.
All right, so I'm very happy to welcome Raymond Latta to the Revolution Nothing Less show. Raymond, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here with you, Sansara.
All right, so Raymond Latta is the spokesperson for Revolution Books in New York City. And he has also been out on the streets protesting the recent abduction by ICE of Mahmoud Khalil.
Free Mahmoud Khalil! No!
They yelled Mahmoud Khalil's name outside of Columbia University.
And you led a program last night at Revolution Books to talk about the emergency that this concentrates. Could you start by just telling us what has happened to Mahmoud Khalil? What is the big deal about his situation?
Yeah, well, Mahmoud Khalil was a graduate student. He graduated from the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia University in December of 2024. And Mahmoud was very much involved, deeply and actively involved in the Palestine Solidarity Movement, the Stop the Genocide Movement at Columbia University, the movement to demand that Columbia divest of its investments in war crimes, in essence. And Mahmoud was a negotiator for the movement in its interactions with the administration. Now, what happened is that last week, okay, last Saturday, agents of ICE came to Mahmoud's apartment. This is student housing off the campus. They came to his apartment and they announced that they were going to revoke his student visa. Well, he didn't have a student visa because he had a green card. He's a legal permanent resident of the United States. And these agents took him in hand. They grabbed him in front of his wife, 8 months pregnant, and they whisked him off in the dark of night. So he was, as you said, he was abducted. He was extracted from his apartment. This is a nightmarish Gestapo-like scenario. So then he was taken to a detention center in Newark. And as his lawyers learned of what was happening, you know, they wanted to find out of his whereabouts, his condition. And then the news came that he was being transferred to another detention facility. And this is in Louisiana. And let's be clear, detention facility is too kind and polite a term. You know, these are prisons, you know, with deplorable conditions in them. And again, this is the kind of nightmare scenario of fascism on the loose, you know, grabbing, extracting, you know, people who are voicing dissent and opposition to a government and regime. And people have to know that this was coming at the direct order of the State Department. Marco Rubio, right, who has made it his mission, you know, to quote unquote crack down on this protest. And Trump had issued an order, a statement that was translated into an order that these foreign-born students and faculty who engage in protest, which he is labeling as illegal protest because they are standing up against the U.S.-backed genocide in Gaza, that they will be subject to arrest and punishment, and those who are foreign-born will be arrested and deported.
Yeah, I think it's extremely harrowing that as soon as this happened, Donald Trump put out a tweet and named Mahmoud Khalil by name and said there will be more arrests to come. And we're told this country is supposed to be, allegedly, a country of laws, not of men, not of any arbitrary whim of the president. Just his say-so. No evidence, just an accusation that this student, former student, recent graduate, had political views that the president of the United States does not approve of. And so you have no rights, you're disappeared. The terror that inflicts on him, on his wife, on his family, on his friends and community, but radiating out to professors, to students, to foreign-born people throughout society. I think it'd be important for you to say a little bit more of what this was, a leak. This was not just more of the ongoing criminal repression towards immigrants and towards academic freedom, which has been marching along, but this represents a real leak.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the basic facts of his case were his green card, which is ostensibly, providing, citizenship rights. He's a permanent resident. That green card counted for nothing. Mm-hmm. So people, you should understand that is in and of itself a leap. They are saying that this is no longer going to be honored. This is no longer going to be respected. So that the political views and the enforcement of those political views of the fascists who rule this society, they take precedence over the rule of law, over these constitutional protections. So this is a leap. And also, this is coming, by the way, just a week after the federal government suspended $400 million, mm-hmm. Of funding for scientific research, for important research that is conducted at Columbia University. And the pretext for that was that this university has not cracked down on anti-Semitism. And that, is a cover, and this is a nonsensical bull charge that's leveled against the movement to stop the genocide in Gaza, that people who oppose Zionism, that oppose, the horrors that are being inflicted on the Palestinian people, are intrinsically anti-Semitic for taking a stand against Israel. And now this administration is stripping Columbia University of research funds because they have not adequately aligned their views and their actions, that is, to suppress this movement, with the fascist regime. And this is part of a larger process of restructuring the university in an ugly, fascist image. They want to turn the university, which is one of the few places where dissent and critical thinking have initiative, they want to turn the university into a dead zone of compliance with and obedience to fascism.
What is possible if people, why is it important, and what would it look like, and what could be changed through people standing up and saying no to this?
Yeah, well, I think what we've discussed is just how serious this attack is and what it represents. And the fascists, as I said, are trying to turn Columbia into a proving ground for how fast and how hard they can go and carry forward their repressive agenda, including, and not unimportantly, remaking the university in that ugly fascist image. And here's the situation. If you're a professor, you are now subject to all kinds of monitoring of what you're teaching. If you're a student, a point was made by a professor to me when I was out there that a student today who's foreign born has to risk getting arrested and detained and deported for going to a class at Columbia. This is how serious it is. We have to turn this into our proving ground. That is that we have to build the resistance to this. We have to unite widely among faculty, among community, among progressive people everywhere to draw the line here at Columbia that this cannot go down. And if we draw people forward, building on people's righteous indignation about what is happening in society overall, and that this is a time when people of conscience have to step forward. Because, as Babovicki has pointed out, these fascists are going with a terrifying momentum. That was his phrase. This is a lesson of Hitler, with a terrifying momentum. And we have to build the momentum quickly. And if we can stop this, if we can build tremendous resistance among the faculty, the students, as I said, others, if we can turn this into a positive example, if we can beat this back, and that involves both, you know, the struggle around releasing Mahmoud immediately, it involves the struggle of reinstating students who have been unjustly suspended and expelled, it involves, you know, freeing faculty from the constraints of having to trim their sails, you know, to the dictates of this fascist regime. We have to turn this into a crucible for resistance. And if we awaken and we mobilize resistance here, and if we beat this back, this can have a tremendously positive effect on the mood more broadly in society and the willingness and capacity of people to stand up and fight this whole fascist agenda. Not here, not there, not anywhere.
Raymond Lott, I'm so glad we were able to make some time to talk today. This is incredibly high stakes, and we will continue to follow it here on the Revolution Nothing Less show and at revcom.us.
Thank you for having me.
Raymond is precisely right to see the import of the targeting of Columbia University by the Trump fascist regime as key to remaking higher education into, as he put it, a dead zone for critical thinking and indoctrination into the perverse values of a fascist society. This will have impact far beyond the universities unless we stop it. Babovicki, in a statement we featured on this show last week, said, quote, Hitler trampled on and quickly put an end to the basic norms and principles of that republic, forcibly imposing in its place the open fascist dictatorship of the Nazis. This laid the basis for all the horrific atrocities committed by the Hitler-Nazi regime, atrocities which were not committed all at once, but in an escalating way. A professor at Frankfurt University, and Frankfurt is a major city in Germany, wrote this, reflecting on his first faculty meeting after Hitler took power. Quote, Frankfurt was the first university the Nazis tackled, precisely because it was the most self-confidently liberal of major German universities, with a faculty that prided itself on its allegiance to scholarship, freedom of conscience, and democracy. The Nazis knew that control of Frankfurt University would mean control of German academia, and so did everyone at the university, end quote. The former president of Columbia University, Lee Bollinger, said of Columbia's response to Mahmoud Khalil's arrest, you neutralize the branches of government, you neutralize the media, you neutralize the universities, and you're on your way. We're beginning to see the effects on the universities. It's very, very frightening, end quote. Now, we want to pull the lens back to what is the overall situation we face with the Trump fascist regime and what must be done. Refuse Fascism has just issued a call to conscience, a call to act. This is a major statement of orientation, direction, and strategy to defeat this fascism. Let's watch Coco Das from the editorial board of Refuse Fascism.
The Refuse Fascism statement, a call to conscience, a call to act, is a powerful tool to get millions of people in this country urgently oriented and acting to defeat Trump MAGA fascism before it can consolidate its rule. This statement needs to be spread to every corner of society starting now. Every week, the fascist Trump regime is making huge leaps in tearing up the rule of law and civil and democratic rights. With the criminally ominous arrest of Mahmoud Khalil, fascism has advanced to the stage of Gestapo-like kidnappings of activists. Now is the time to take very seriously the lessons of the poem from Martin Niemöller. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. Niemöller was a prominent pastor who started out as a supporter of Hitler, but later became a voice of opposition and a target of the Gestapo. This quote stands as an important indictment of German complicity with the Nazi horrors. But not enough people living in this country are seeing themselves in this poem. Not enough people, as much as they hate what Trump represents, are even recognizing this as fascism. And too many people are waiting for someone or something outside of themselves to come and stop this. The lesson of this poem is this: you must act before the fascists are at your door. Refuse Fascism has issued a call to conscience, a call to act, that the German people did not have when there was still time to stop Hitler from carrying out his full program. This statement starts with a crucial foundation. No, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. With the future of people all around the world hanging in the balance, we act for all humanity. If millions in this country facing fascism immediately make this their starting point, the outrages they are quietly accepting now can very quickly become intolerable. The statement goes on to justify a single unifying demand: the Trump fascist regime must go. Imagine this demand resounding through the streets and institutions and airwaves of this country, bringing society to a halt, filling people with the determination to stay in the streets until their demand is met. Until this regime faces that kind of political crisis, it can absorb protests against one attack or another. With their bloody hands on the levers of power and their bloody fangs on people's necks, the regime will constantly have the initiative, while the people will constantly be on the defensive, vulnerable to being divided and conquered and beaten into submission, physically, mentally, and morally. If we allow that to happen, it is not only people living in this country who will suffer. The Trump fascist regime, while it echoes the slave-holding Confederacy, Jim Crow segregation, and Nazi Germany, has no historical precedent in the scale of destruction it is setting into motion. With the climate crisis at a tipping point, the looming danger of war between nuclear armed powers, and a global refugee population of over 100 million people, this regime is a threat to the very future of humanity and life on this planet. The clock ticks toward the midnight hour. Each minute brings new shocks and jolts. Each second shatters lives. Study this statement and see how it embraces the more than half the people in this country that viscerally hates Trump MAGA and feels dread for the future. but it goes far beyond putting a label on what they fear and hate. In a compressed way, it gives them an understanding of the full scope and danger of the fascist program, the moral clarity to stand against it, and the only real way to drive this fascism out of power. Quote, there is a way to defeat this. We, the undersigned, call on the decent people who don't want to live in a fascist America, who are more than half the country, to courageously rise up as one. Millions in the streets, not allowing business as usual, when that business is cementing fascist rule with the vilest, degrading morality down our throats. Many voices and bodies demanding the Trump fascist regime must go. With this, we can and must create a political crisis in which the Trump regime cannot govern and implement their fascist program or even maintain his hold on power. Yes, this will take struggle and sacrifice, but history has shown that people will act with tremendous courage in the face of danger when they understand what's at stake and the role they must play in changing history. Here is a document that has the power to galvanize the decent people of this country to do what the German people did not do, if we take the responsibility to wield it. To quote the powerful ending of the Call to Conscience, Call to Act, let it not be said that when there was still a chance to stop an unprecedented threat to the future of humanity, we did not rise to meet the challenge of our time. Let us not allow the watching world today to despair of our silence and our failure to act. Instead, let the world see our determination and courage and hear our righteous demand. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. The fascist Trump regime must go.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back. Now we're going to play you an excerpt from a new series of interviews that were done with Bob Avakian. Humanity does not have to live this way. This is from part two, The New Communism, a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. Let's watch.
You know, in the first part of our interview, you talked about when you were first coming to political life, eagerly learning from others who knew more about the world. And I know you've talked before about learning from leaders in the free speech movement and the Black Panther Party. And I know you also learned a tremendous amount from Mao, from Marx, from Lenin. But you also spoke in our first interview about at a certain point along the way, or at different points, you saw also the need to go further, or maybe it was farther. What was that process like?
I think it was further.
Further, okay. Can you give a sense of what that process was like, in particular in relation to developing what's new in the new communism?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the basic idea of communism is to move beyond the world in which society is divided into a small, relatively small group of people exploiting masses of people in order to enrich themselves and in order to maintain control and power over society and to contend in the international arena with other capitalists doing the same thing. The whole point of communism is to move beyond that. The original founder of communism, if you want to put it that way, Karl Marx, talked about what we refer to as the four alls. He said, communism means moving to where you've gone beyond the economic relations of exploitation, not of capitalism, but also of all previous societies, like feudalism, where masses of peasant serfs are exploited by big landowners, and obviously slavery. It's going beyond all economic relations of exploitation, where one part of society is living by literally sucking the blood and breaking the bodies. And I'm not, exaggerating. If you look what's actually happening, including to more than 150 million children around the world, it's literally a system where a small number get wealthy and get powerful by breaking the body and destroying the souls, if you want to put it that way, of billions of people around the world, including more than 150 million children in places like the Congo and elsewhere around the world. So it's, communism means moving beyond that and establishing an economy that's actually, a cooperative economy with collective ownership of the means to create the wealth of society and to use that and to produce it and to utilize it in the interests of the masses of people. So it's moving beyond an economy based on exploitation in any form. It's moving beyond social relations that go along with that exploitation, like the oppression of women, or in the history of the U.S., the horrific oppression also of Black people and other people of color. It's moving beyond the institution of government and of, the state power of the army and the police and so on that enforces this system. It's transforming those institutions so that they serve the masses of people and back up the masses of people in carrying out the transformation of the economy and the relations among people. It's transforming the culture so that it reinforces and inspires people to rise up and carry forward the struggle to eliminate exploitation and oppression. It's all those things that communism aims for. And it aims to get beyond a situation which has marked human society for thousands of years, where not only are people divided into exploiters and masses of exploited people and oppressors and masses of oppressed people, but also people have moved beyond the individual struggle for mere survival, because that is guaranteed by the new economic system and relations and the way society, functions. And that, this is, tremendously important. Once again, you go back to Marx, for example, and I have learned a great deal from Marx, and it's very important. There would be no communism and there would be no new communism without Marx, even while, I've said in analyzing the historical experience of communism that on the one hand, Marx and his, running buddy Engels were extremely farsighted, but also in some ways naive. And that's not surprising, because everybody is limited by the historical conditions in which they exist, no matter how much they see beyond those conditions. But, you go back to Marx and Engels in the original founding of communism. Here's something interesting for religious people. They actually took the slogan that's from the book of Acts, I believe, in the Bible, and, used it to describe the basic way in which communist society would proceed, from each according to their ability to each according to their needs. That was something in the book of Acts. They talked about how the early Christian societies functioned. Now, in that situation, if I could just take a detour for a brief second, I hope, the original Christian societies were able to function that way because they were funded by some of the wealthier people in Roman society, and in the surrounding society. But in the future communist society, that's not the way it'll be. It'll be the whole society will provide for the implementation of the reality where people contribute to society voluntarily because they understand that the more that the society as a whole advances in the interests of the masses of people, in the interests of the people as a whole, the better their own situation will be, because everybody will be working together to advance together. So they will contribute whatever they can according to their ability, and they'll get back what they need. You know, for example, if certain people have an arrangement, you know, where they have two or three, children, and some other people in an arrangement where they have none, then the people with more children will have more need. But it won't be this kind of bitter rivalry and, you know, and petty, competition over who's going to get what, because it will be an abundance created by unleashing the productivity of, and the productive capacity of the mass of people when they're not being exploited, and can contribute fully to the development of the economy so that people's needs will be met according to their needs. This is a tremendous leap beyond what exists, and it's actually possible. Yes, it will take a tremendous struggle to get there, but it's definitely worth it, because think about what it would actually mean for the masses of humanity, along with eliminating all the wars and environmental destruction that characterizes the world that we're being forced to live in now, and is posing a real threat to the very existence of society and of humanity.
That was Bob Avakian in a recent series of interviews that were done, which you can watch in full on this channel, youtube.com/therevcoms, and on Bob Avakian's social media platform. The two-part interview is titled, "Humanity Does Not Have to Live This Way," and that's what we just heard in that excerpt.
When people are confronting a fascist regime, the transformation of the universities, the danger in healthcare, the existential crisis of the environment, nuclear war, the whole mess, people are saying, what the happened here? What is going on? Is this how it has to be? And then we just heard a really broad view of what communism actually is, what the essence of it is, not what people have heard. It's just about making everybody equal, just spreading the wealth around. No, it's a whole vision of a different way, as he said towards the end of that answer to Sansara. It's what humanity is capable of.
Yeah, I mean, nobody thinks about in our society getting beyond the individual struggle for survival. They do not think about how much that individual struggle for survival shapes the narrow morality that people have, the dog-eat-dog rat race that people are caught up in, and actually being able to see in a very real way that humanity could live on a different foundation.
And when people hear this and what comes after, where he goes into the new communism, this gives people a sense of what could be. And look, people are caught up in the rat race, the dog eat dog society. You can't escape it. You live in this society, and now it's there in on steroids with this Trump fascist regime. So big questions are raised, but people haven't seen the possibility of what really could be, and that will give people hope. And this is a society where, as he talks about in the interviews themselves, where he says, you know, the new generation here, there's so much depression, so much despair. And because people don't have that hope, they don't see what's possible. And he's bringing what is possible. And the other thing that would come from this is more determination to fight against this fascist regime and maybe go on from there to fight for a whole different world. When you have a sense of what could be, it makes you much more intolerant of what actually is going on right now. And so this is very important that people watch this.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to the Michael Slate Show.
Was die Attentäter betrifft, die in Berlin den Anschlag auf die deutsch-arabische Gesellschaft verübt haben, ist die Polizei einen Schritt weiter gekommen, der nach dem Anschlag...
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom, but trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take
Last Saturday was International Women's Day, a day to fight for women's liberation all over the world. This took place amidst the rising Trump MAGA fascism. In over 300 cities across the country, people took to the streets, responding to the call for protest from a range of organizations, including Women's March, Refuse Fascism, and others. The RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity were also in the midst. Refuse Fascism rallied behind the demand, "Stop the war on women and LGBTQ people. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. The Trump fascist regime must go." We're going to show you some of these voices.
12 years ago, I led a rally right here in Union Square against the rising Christian fascist assault on women's fundamental right to abortion. As I was rallying, I saw a woman who was just passing by stop and listen. She came close to the stage and I noticed that she was shaking. So I approached her. And she spilled out a story that she has held in silence for 40 or 50 years. She told me of growing up in Biloxi, Mississippi. Her best friend at age 16 became pregnant. And this best friend was deeply religious. She was deeply ashamed, and she especially did not want to tell her father. Now, some of you are 16 here today, but if you're not, I want you to remember what it felt like to be 16. I want you to think of your best friend. I want you to remember the hopes you had for your future. And now I want you to think about the shame, the isolation, and the terror that would drive a 16-year-old to go rummage through her father's things, go find where he kept his gun, pull it out, point it at her head and pull the trigger. This is what it means when abortion is illegal. This is a true story. And there are countless stories that are similar. And unfortunately, beautiful people here today, we don't have to look to history anymore. Women are dying today because of Donald Trump's fascist judges and overturning Roe v. Wade. Portia Gumezi, Giselle Barnica, Navia Crane, Candy Miller, Amber Thurman. These women have died because of Donald Trump's fascist overturning of Roe v. Wade. And look how fast this country has adjusted. How many people even know this is happening? And it is not just the deaths. It is the threat and the insult that hangs over the life and the dreams of every single woman, every single girl who is told by this fascist state that her life, her dreams, her ambitions, her futures count for nothing. She is nothing more than a baby-making machine. And these MAGA fascists are going for a national ban on abortion. And not just that, they're coming for birth control.
Illegitimate!
Abortion ban!
Illegitimate!
Forced motherhood!
Illegitimate!
We don't have 4 years. And if you've been paying attention, you already know that we have very, very few elected officials who are willing to stand up for the people and call this what it is, a fascist takeover. We the people cannot let that happen. Hope is in our hands. Our future is in our hands. The people in our government standing on the wrong side of history want to ban books like The Handmaid's Tale. They want history to be erased. They want future generations to be ignorant of the past. They want youth thinking less so they can be brainwashed more. Right now, Missouri lawmakers are working to create a registry to track pregnant women who they believe to be at risk for abortion. This is not a scenario out of The Handmaid's Tale. This is a reality that we're up against. The fascist Trump regime must go. We do not have time to wait.
This fascist has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. This fascist has got to go.
I'm here today as a daughter, a mother, a grandmother, a woman, and a physician. I know firsthand that not having access to reproductive and gender-affirming care kills. Not having access to vaccination kills. Not having access to life-saving medications for mental health care kills. And whether it's dying from a septic pregnancy or dying from measles or from suicide or from poverty, our rights, our bodies, and our very lives are on the line. Make no mistake, this authoritarian dictatorship is fascist. This is not hyperbole. This is real. This is happening now. So what do? We can't wait for midterm elections. We can't wait till 2028. People will die while others sit back in denial or fear or ignorance. Change happens when we make our voices heard. Change happens when we show politicians and billionaire businesses that we refuse fascism. Rights need to be fought for. They are not freely given. Our rights are being taken away faster than 1930s Germany Nazis. We are running out of time. So what do? We refuse fascism.
Trump must go!
Trump must go!
Trump must go!
We won't go back!
We won't go back!
We won't submit!
We won't submit!
We will not take your fascist.
We will not take your fascist.
By academic training, I am a theologian and a former chaplain. A large part of my education was focused on the study of the Holocaust or the Shoah, and it is why I say with absolute confidence, we are staring down the barrel of full-blown fascism in this country. It is a present and an active threat. Without mobilization of the masses, you people who can hear us, who aren't on the streets with us, without mobilization of all of you in the range of my voice, it will destroy us. When we talk about the Holocaust, we talk about four categories of people: victims, perpetrators, the rescuers slash resistors, and bystanders. When we think about the Holocaust in present day or the civil rights movement, we often mythologize ourselves and place ourselves automatically into the position of the hero, of rescuers, of resistors. But in reality, the bystander effect is so f***ing strong. Just by being here today, those of you marching with us, those of you that stopped to listen, just by doing that much, you are helping break through that very strong effect. And I am proud of you for that. And you should be proud of yourselves for that. But I need you to leave here, not just patting yourself on the back for being here, but considering the next steps for active resistance. Our crowds must swell. When we stand together, when we make good trouble in these streets, when we, good trouble! When we shout and we cry and we riot for our rights, we will break the mold. We will earn the world we deserve. So today we say, stop the war on women! Stop the war on the queer community! In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America!
We won't go back no matter what they say. Your laws we defy, we will not obey. We won't go back no matter what they say. Your laws we defy, we will not obey.
We won't go back, we will not submit. On your sick and twisted handmaid's tale, we spit. Blood on your hands, blood on our sheets. Revolution, take heed, we wail in the streets.
I've been a whore, I've been a wife, I'm in a war for my life. You can call me what you like. I'm the stain on your mind. Clean, clean, clean. The crime scene is a mess.
It was the support and acceptance of women that made me feel safe to be myself. But 3 years ago, when I started my medical transition, things were getting better. Now, it is largely men that hide behind women's rights that are the reason I now find myself the target of one of the most targeted and focused genocidal campaigns in recent American history. Before November, I was worried. Now I am terrified. The political right has chosen me as their latest sacrificial lamb, casting me and my transgender siblings as a predator, as a threat, and preying on that fear to consolidate power in exactly the same way they have done with every single marginalized demographic that cannot defend itself, that is not the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male ideal of society since the beginning of time. I am not the first, and I will not be the last. Yeah! The Trump administration declared me an enemy of the state. This is not a trans issue. This is not a women's issue. This is a human issue. Only caring about your own rights is how you lose them.
I was in the State Department for 16 years. I was a diplomat. I resigned 21 years ago before many of you all were even born, but I see a few that were about my age at that time. But when we look at people in the State Department who should be resigning because of these policies that the Trump administration has.
Today, the stakes are even higher than they were in the time of the Nazis, because fascism is coming to power in the U.S. The world's most powerful country that has ever existed in history. And it is coming to power. It is consolidating at a time of global climate catastrophe. And as nuclear armed powers are at each other's throats, this fascism threatens the future of humanity. So this brings me to the most important lesson of Nazi Germany. That is, that fascism must be defeated before it is able to consolidate. Fascism must be defeated, it must be driven from power before the terror is fully unleashed, before every institution is transformed, before the millions and millions of people who are not directly targeted themselves or rounded up, have allowed themselves to fall into silence and complicity. So there is one for, let me say, complicity means you are guilty of a crime. Doesn't mean you started the crime. It means you were in a position to stop it and you failed to do so, so now you become responsible. And there is one force that is powerful enough to stop the fascism of Trump MAGA. No, it is not Congress. No, it is not the courts. No, it is not the Democratic Party or that so-called mythical, sane Republican who's patriotic. The force that can defeat Trump MAGA fascism is the millions and millions of regular people across this country who hate what he is doing. Who do not want a fascist America. We have got to go out and organize them and mobilize them to stand up in the streets and in every institution in society, not once and go home, but again and again, growing in our numbers and determination, standing together until we create the kind of profound political crisis that sends shockwaves around the world, that creates the situation where Trump cannot govern, cannot impose his program, cannot hold on to the reins of power. This is why I am calling on you to join refusefascism.org today, or partner with us if you're part of an organization already.
Remember the disgusting sound of Trump's voice saying, "Grab them by the pussy"? Well, what we face today is far worse. The threats of shoving women back into the kitchen to bear children and be submissive to men from people like Andrew Tate, Nick Fuentes, and others. But these are not just some rabid bros on the fringe. This is what is being officially made the law with Project 2025. The RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity are working tirelessly every day to bring forward what is required to unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution. The revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, has written a constitution, a concrete blueprint for how we can actually bring about that kind of world. And I know that people are so weighed down by even not even being allowed to dream about the possibility of what it would feel like to walk down the streets and not being looked at as a piece of f***ing meat. But not only is it possible, it is necessary, and that's what we are organizing concretely for. So we invite you to join with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, to dig into the works of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, who has brought that forward and has made this question, which in the history of communism has not been given its due attention. This is a breakthrough in the new communism that he has developed. This is a big deal. And we are here to not only share it with you, but to call on you to engage it, to dig into it, and to be part of joining with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity.
From Bob Avakian, he says, you can't break all the chains except one. You can't say you want to be free of exploitation and oppression, except you want to keep the oppression of women by men. You can't say you want to liberate humanity, yet keep one half of the people enslaved to the other half. The oppression of women is completely bound up with the division of society into masters and slaves, exploiters and exploited. And the ending of all such conditions is impossible without the complete liberation of women. All this is why women have a tremendous role to play, not only in making revolution, but in making sure there is all the way revolution. The fury of women can and must be fully unleashed as a mighty force for proletarian revolution.
This whole system is rotten and illegitimate. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. When you join with the RevCom Corps, you work to unite all who can be united to move millions to stop this Trump MAGA regime before it can consolidate its power. You live by and fight for principles that are about breaking all the chains, and you do it as part of an organized revolutionary force. You work to defend the rights and lives of immigrants and trans people and everybody else who's being targeted by this regime. And you learn about and help spread the work of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, who's brought forward a strategy for revolution to emancipate society and developed a new communism to understand and change the world. Now look, I just want to leave you with one thing. Because I got up here, I talked about revolution. Some of y'all might be like, that sounds good, I want to check into that. Others of you might be, well, I got questions about that, Carl, I don't know. And some of you might be, well, I don't want a revolution. Wherever you fall out in that scale of things, one thing we have to be together on is we gotta stop this Trump MAGA fascism before they can consolidate their rule.
Women's fury, hear the sound!
Women's fury, hear the sound!
Tear this rotten system down!
Tear this rotten system down!
So that brings us to the end of today's episode. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and put a comment in the comment section below so we can learn your thoughts on the episode, your questions, and because it helps the algorithm. And we want to thank the crew of the RNL Revolution Nothing Less team.
Yeah, and spread this show. And don't forget, watch the interviews with Bob Avakian by Sansara Taylor on this channel. Go to refusefascism.org and sign the call to conscience, call to act, and we hope to see you in the streets in whatever city you're in, standing up to this regime and fighting for a whole different future for humanity. So good night.
Good night.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/therevcoms. And follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
With
in troubled times. We live in troubled times. What part of history we learn when it's repeated? Some things we'll never overcome. If we don't seek it, the world stops turning. Paradise burning. So don't think twice. We live in troubled times.
If no one